In case you do not know, those boys had more money before they joined the ministry than afterwards. So it's not true that every time you come in, God gives you more money. Sometimes he takes the one you had. He does that. You may be a PhD holder, a professor, whatever it is. If it suits his purpose, one day say, listen, give me this PhD. Carry the paper, TM. From now on, drop the title. Your name will now be Bro. Used to be doctor, it now be Bro. And he literally will send you, literally to the bush of the Congo to go and preach. Where nobody cares about your PhD, you had better have the power of God with you, otherwise snake will bite you and you will die. He does that. When people think that all he does is to give to them, that's why they follow him and they don't repent. There was a time after he finished healing and healing and healing and healing, they said, why are we looking for another king? See king right here. Most of those who wanted to make him king, Jesus himself said, it was because of the food. He said, you seek me. Go and read that John chapter 6. Not because of the words, but because of food. Not even because of the miracles, but because of what? Food. Many people are coming to church. They don't care about God. They don't care about Jesus Christ. They don't care about his gospel. But there's food. Those are the people literally going to hell. I don't know whether you follow what I'm saying. You know why I'm saying this? So that people will understand what I mean. When I say a true Christian can never go to hell, it's not possible. If you like, we are Patakon Church. Though Udechukwu won't let you enter. We will question your sanity. But that will not send you to hellfire. No man's works ever sent him to heaven. Please hear that and hear it clearly. Nobody's works did that for him. What gets you to heaven? I'll tell you, it's simple. It's what you believe, who you believe, who you know. After all, one man was on the cross. He was crucified also. A real sinner. Now he connects with Jesus Christ. Though he was naked, he connected with Jesus Christ. Though he was bleeding. The other one was there. Say, look at you. They say you can walk miracle. Walk and I will see. Walk the miracle, let us see. And that is what a lot of people do in churches today. Listen, when you see all those crusade grounds where people come, miracle, miracle, miracle. Miracles happen, amen? Amen. I said miracles happen. Did I hear an amen?
Amen?
Most people go there, they don't give a damn about the God that does the miracle. Heal me and let me go. I have things to do. This is my sickness, not allowing my business to move. They say you can heal. Be quick with it. Some actually repent of their sins to get the healing. They are not true believers. So I'm saying this to emphasize, I'm not confused when I say that a true Christian can never, ever, there's not up to one chance in a million that he'll go to hell. And I'm not letting anybody scare you. You're not going to hell. Why did I say? The Lord is good. No, I mean, I see people, yes, people are confused. This I hear everything. I heard the man say that if you just tell one lie like this, you just die and go to hell. Get away, my friend. You that are saying you should have died by now and gone to hell because what you are saying is a lie. A Christian went and fought in the market. The car killed him. That's it. He's gone to hell. I said, you must think God is on wee-wee like you. And then when the man smokes, he talks nonsense. Now things that God smokes too. Unfortunately, the good Lord does not smoke. I mean, fortunately for us, actually. He knows what he's doing. Please, I need to emphasize that too, so people don't get confused. Now, I don't know why I went into all of that too, okay? But I think I will try and connect from one particular point, all right? Just that, you know, when you hear these things, maybe they kind of stick on your heart, and you just have to discharge and help the people of God, all right? Now, what did Paul say? Let's get back to that. Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and you will not be bothered about checking whether you will go to hell, because you will not go there. Amen?
Amen?
Now, I've rewritten that scripture just to bring out an issue here. I was talking about the kingdom of God. Yes, the kingdom of God, all right? The kingdom of God is not something you encounter when you get to heaven. The kingdom of God is to be established on this earth. The kingdom of God, there are two realms to it. I said even the establishing of it on this earth. One, there's an individual one, that is the kingdom of God being established in your heart. The kingdom of God being established in your life. Very, very important. There's an individual aspect of it. which is what I want to do. I just want to drop in and be a bit emphatic about. That is, God's kingdom must be established in your life. And the God's kingdom will be established through you in the community around you, in the society around you. Now, if you are giving in to the works of the flesh, what is going to happen is that you will not experience the power of God in your life. And that's what the kingdom of God is that expression of the power of God. Because Jesus Christ, when he came to him and said, they were saying that you are hidden by all kinds of different methods. He said, okay, how do your sons do it? He said, if I, by the kingdom, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. What he was saying essentially is that I am the embodiment of the kingdom of God on this earth. And this is the matter of fact. That was why when he would approach where there was turmoil, there had to be calm, simply because the kingdom of God was coming. You know, what God said to the children of Israel was that their nation was going to be like the days, that is, in Israel, they were going to experience the days of heaven on this earth. That is, God's throne in heaven will be ruling literally on the earth. For that reason, the whole of that nation did not have doctors. At the beginning, they didn't have. He said to them simply, I am God, Jehovah, that heals you. When he was bringing them out of Israel, he said there was no feeble one amongst them. Out of Egypt, sorry, I'm trying to say. There was no feeble one amongst them. He said to them, look, simply, the way it was going to be is that if you travel and leave your land, nobody will take it over while you are gone. That these foreign nations will not be able to invade you and succeed. How were they going to establish that? Just by obeying the laws. Just by obeying the truth that God was going to pass through Moses to them. That is, essentially, the kingdom of God was to be established inside that nation. So, kingdom of God is not when you get to heaven. It's something that should be established in the life of every true believer. And through him or her, it should be established around them. But when people indulge in the works of the flesh, what they do is that they cut off the ability of God to do anything on their behalf. I say to you all the time, sin is a poison. It is not enjoyment of any form. It's a poison. It is something that prevents... remember my good friend, preaching now, Samson. It is sin that did not allow him overcome Delilah. That is, Delilah's experience itself was a sin. But Delilah was a fruit, all right, for all the previous seeds he had been sowing, which was removing his strength, the spiritual strength that God gave to him so that he would be able to overcome when Delilah will come. Because I said then, everybody's Delilah is coming. And as a rule, there must be a period of testing before you can be established on any throne on this earth. You must be tested. And what God does is to allow you energy, feed you with his word, feed you with his spirit so as to build up strength in you so the day of your testing, you don't fail your test. Saul was chosen. Don't ever forget this. Many are called. Few are chosen. Amongst those who are chosen, even fewer are established. Saul was chosen as king of Israel. Then the day came in which God wanted to establish his throne forever. That is, today, what I'm going to do is to establish Saul as a king over Israel, and his descendants will reign the way he did to David. Let's give him one test, the test of patience. Give him an instruction, tell him to wait. The man did not fully wait. Why? He did not have the strength to wait. Please, I'm going somewhere. That is, anyone who indulges in the works of the flesh will not have the energy to do that which is right when God will come to establish him on his throne. That is his own throne, the human throne now. That is when God will come and say, this one I want to establish him. He won't have the energy. I was saying, what was that? Okay, it was yesterday when I was preaching somewhere yesterday. I said to them, this is how, now, just what I said, I want to just illustrate something. That is how God does things. I said, if you want to be rich in life, actually I was talking about, I had to talk about relationships and all of that, all right? Different kind of relationships, but of course, it's a youth convention, so you talked about relationship, boy loves girl, girl loves boy a bit. Are you getting my point? Marriage, marry her, it's part of it. So I'm just trying to drop something for people again. I say, listen, you must be careful, you understand what you're asking for. That God will never give you a replacement for himself. in answer to your prayer. I need somebody who will take care of me and solve all my problems. So therefore, God, give me a wife or give me a husband. God said, lie, lie. That is my job. Are you getting my point? Yes, that is my job. I am the one that help people become rich. Husbands don't do it. Wives don't do it. If you want to be rich in life, I said, you pray like Jabez. It's very simple. It doesn't take 5 minutes. Just take time out when you are alone. Kneel down. Lie down. Put your head down. Whichever way you want to do it. Just pray to God simply. And say, Lord, oh, that you will bless me indeed. And give me plenty of money so that I'll be able to help myself and help many people around me. And God will answer you. Now, this is where I'm going. And I said, listen, when you have prayed that prayer, this is where I'm going now, listen to this, that God doesn't just drop money from heaven. What he now does is that he starts leading you. Notice what the Bible calls, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God starts leading you in the path to walk so as to get into the thing that he has promised you. The thing that you receive from him by prayer. Now, listen to this. You know, that is why Abraham had the promise of Isaac. But Isaac did not come for 25 years. And when Isaac came, it was tied to Abraham giving help to strangers. Now, this is how the work of the flesh denies us of our inheritance. If Abraham had been sowing into the flesh, from the flesh he would have reaped corruption. And because of that, what will have happened is that the day, now listen to this, the day that the strangers will arrive, he will have shut the door of his tent against them. And the final blessing that will have brought forth Isaac will have walked past into Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know whether you're getting that point. I don't know whether you followed me. Apparently, you don't understand. Let me say it another way. The answer to prayer was Isaac. All right, let's put it like that. When you pray for something, let's take that money as an example. When you pray for it and say, God, oh, that you will bless me indeed, and you will make me rich, that I'll have plenty of naira, count it in billions, so that I'll be able to help myself, help people around me, help the gospel of God, help, you know, righteousness to be promoted. And God says, amen, no problem, I'll do that for you. But he does not rain money from heaven. Listen. The difference between God and the devil is that if you were able to make an arrangement with Satan, he doesn't care about whether you are good or bad. He gives you that thing. He doesn't take you through any tests. As long as you bow down and worship him, he gives it to you. But this is how God does his own, which is different. That is why the Bible says that be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That is, faith is number one. Then patience is when you are careful to do that which is right in the sight of God over a long period of time. And the Bible is saying that if you don't do that patient work, your faith will not produce anything. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. So even though God wants to do something for you, what he does is to now push you in the path that leads to the fulfillment of that promise. Are you getting my point? He now leads you in the path that leads to the fulfillment of that promise. That's why Paul said it like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. He says, seeing that we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. That is, if we don't do that, our promises will never manifest. You see what I'm talking about? What is the kingdom of God, therefore? It is a manifestation of the promises of God in your life. That's the kingdom of God. So those who indulge in the works of the flesh. Now, back to the issue. When God is leading them, the journey may be 500 kilometers long. At point 100 kilometers, something will distract them. It is called temptations of life. But they will not have, now this is the point, they will not have the strength to resist that temptation. Why? Because they were indulging in the works of the flesh. Or sometimes they're at kilometer 450. Some of them at kilometer 490, like Saul. Saul had waited for seven complete, almost, days. Because read that account, Samuel came in just as he was finishing the sacrifice. That is, if he had waited one more hour. I don't know whether you got that. If he had waited one more hour, Samuel would have come in, offered the sacrifice, and established Saul on that throne. So what we often do to ourselves is say, hey, why did he not wait? Oh, God, may I wait? May I wait? God said, it is not by wanting to wait. Even he wanted to wait. He did not just have the strength to wait. You need strength to wait. I don't know whether you're hearing what I'm saying. You need strength to do what? Wait. You don't use desire to wait. You use what? Strength. Desire doesn't make you wait. You need the strength. Now, the point is this. Why did he not have the strength? It is simple. Lack of strength was a manifestation of the works of the flesh. Please, that's what our teaching is about. So he said, walk in the spirit. And these things that you will do with your hands that will prevent you from entering into God's promise for your life, it will not happen. He said, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Paul said, anybody who is fulfilling the desires of the flesh, I'm warning you, like I've already forewarned you, he said, he will not inherit the kingdom of God. Please, I hope you are getting my point. I say this all the time. You see, one of the things I find in our country of today, this is our Nigeria, is that wealth hardly passes through generations. That is, a man is rich, that's the end of it. His children, they are normal. I don't know whether you get my point. They're average. They have to struggle like everybody else. When they are young, they'll be enjoying. They'll be traveling all over the world, driving expensive cars. By the time they become men of their own, you see, they have become normal. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. They are now normal like everybody else. It's very, very rare. I'm not saying it doesn't ever happen, but it's rare in Nigeria of today to find out that a man stands up, he's CEO of a company worth billions of naira, and he says to you, my father founded it. No, my grandfather founded this company. Please think about it for a moment. Am I lying? I'm not saying it does not ever happen, but it's rare. It's very rare. But you go to some places, it's common. Like the name Henry Ford, they pretend Henry Ford III, Henry Ford IV. That a man, Ford, is still heading the company, Ford. I don't know about as of today, but recently, you know, blessings that pass three generations. My pastor in Lagos used to say that that's a sign that it was from God. That the blessings of God always pass three generations. There is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That Jesus said, I'm not only praying for them, but I'm praying for those who will believe by their word. That the three generations, Jesus number one, the disciples number two, those who will believe by their word number three. That's how the blessings of God are. Wealth that passes down three generations. Now, what am I trying to talk about? This is my own conviction. I believe that the major reason is that men didn't walk with God to enter into things. Therefore, the ability to sustain it was not given to them, nor could they pass it down to their children. Please, I hope you are following me. I hope I'm not sounding too abstract. Well, you wouldn't tell me anyway if I was. So my asking you really is just my trying to deceive myself. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, so Paul now said, walk in the spirit and you will not do these things. You will not cripple your ability to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, so we began to explain something. I need to go over that one again, very important. That, listen, please, notice something here. Go back to that chapter 5. Okay, don't bother, I'll just read that for you. It said, the fruit of the spirit is... Now, fruit implies the fact that a man, a woman, sowed seeds. That's all I tried to bring at the beginning. That a person must have been sowing seeds. And this is one thing about seeds, spiritually speaking now. Seeds are the simple things that you can do. They are easy to do. Then as a fruit, the ability to do bigger things come into your life. I give an example that if Nebuchadnezzar threatens to burn you in fire, it's not a small thing. It is not a small thing. Listen, for you to stand in the face of the flame and not bow, it is not small, it is not simple. An average man shouldn't do it. An average person can't do it. And you shouldn't even try, if I'm using that expression. Because you just burn small before you change your mind. As they are leading you towards the fire, I say, oh God, come, let's talk about this. Does it have to go this far? What if I bend halfway? Are you getting my point? You start reasoning it. But these people said, Nalai, we are not bowing, no matter what you want to do. I say to you again, it was not their strength, it was supernatural strength. But that strength, for it to come into them, they refused to eat ordinary food some time ago. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to explain. That is, that time it was a matter of a man you could negotiate with. Sir, please, we are Jews. These kind of foods don't go well with us. According to our commandments from our God, we can't eat this kind of thing. Just give us vegetables to eat. And that man said, you want to put me in trouble with the king? You know, he was ready to talk to them. He was ready to negotiate. He said to them simply, all right, I'll give you a test. All right, well, they proposed the test. Say, let's eat what we want to eat for 10 days. Just basic food, what we could, the Bible calls vegetables, all right? Just basic food. Then the other people had their food well synthesized, processed, so as to energize the bodies of young men. So at the end of 10 days, test us. Why did I bring that out? They could talk to the man. He was a man they could reason with. He was willing to test them and prove whether their God was really going to work or not. Simply put, it was an easy thing to do. Hear my word. That was when they sowed the seed that germinated, produced fruit as refusal to bow down when tough things came up. It was just simple food. It was not bow to any idol. It was just eat. They could have taken the food and gone inside and said, oh boy, you won't chop this thing. I know they chop. Okay, let's just test it. How is it? It's not good. They could have done all kinds of things, but they refused. They just came openly. Excuse me, sir. We don't want to eat this. They stood up for their faith in the little thing. Let me tell you the truth. As Christians, we understand something. We can sit down and say that politicians are eating billions and billions and billions. You yourself, when last your company sent you somewhere, did you bring a fake receipt so as to claim your money? That is one that you're not under pressure to do. It's just 5,000 naira. Nobody is threatening that we'll send you to prison if you don't do this. We'll send assassins after you. Nobody is threatening, just you and them. Your boss could have simply said, okay, so how did it go? I said, well, I didn't spend all that money. That's what's remaining. And there's no loss to you whatsoever. But everybody in the company is bringing receipts to us to claim money. And they know we start rationalizing it. It's your money, okay? Will the company lose anything? Those are the times people sow the seeds. What's the thing about seed I'm bringing out? They are very simple things to do. They are not tough things to do. Those boys refuse to eat simple food. So that the fruit, now don't forget, life is what? Seeds. And I should say this about seed. Anything you do now in a small fashion, it will return to you in a big fashion later. That's just the way it is. If you do bad things in a small way, you will soon receive the ability to do it in a big fashion. If you do good things in a small way, God will give you the ability. This is what he does. He said, he that multiplies seed of the sower and bread for food shall both multiply and supply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. That is, he supplies seed for sowing. It is more seed because you sowed the previous one. Why? Because the seed is in the fruit. You are getting what I'm saying? So this is how the Lord does it. This is the principle of seed here. Seeds are simple things to do. Remember the one we gave as our emphasis. Because of time now, I won't read it. We read from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 17. For those who are not here, you can note that down. You'll see the commandment that he gave to the kings of Israel. That was the one we used to introduce this subject. So he said to them simply, what you will do is to make a copy of this book and read it. That was very simple to do. It was very simple. It didn't put you under pressure. It's reading. You can do it leisurely. You can lie down and read. You can sit beside the royal pool and read. You can sit under the royal palm trees and read. You can read anytime the way you like it. There was no pressure that time. There's no temptation, no really, not to read. It's just a little choice they had to make. You make that choice, it will make you a king that never disobeys God, and that obedience will be the way by which you will be established. When he wanted Joshua to succeed also, I'm talking about walking the Spirit. Now, as I'm speaking, please be picking these things. These are the little things that Paul called walking in the Spirit. Because I said to you earlier, those people must have understood what he was saying. And when he said walking in the Spirit, what he meant simply was, I was quoting a Warren, Rick Warren. Rick Warren said, essentially, now I'm mixing two things up. I'm mixing Rick Warren's words with Galatians chapter 5. What was in that? What does it mean? Don't fight the things of the flesh. Replace it with another activity. And it's those activities we are trying to identify as believers. Number one, which we explained then, I don't have time now to go into any other one, but let me just review that, then I close. We'll continue next time. Number one, which I explained, is that God gave the kings of Israel a book to read. And my emphasis for Christians again is that that imbibing of the word is the number one activity of walking in the Spirit. When Paul said walk in the Spirit, there were practical things that people could do. That's why I read further down Galatians chapter 6. He told them simply, as long, he said that, how did he say it again? As much as you have the opportunity, do good to all men. Listen to me, that's part of walking in the Spirit. As much as you have the opportunity, do good. That is, you know, that is something that you're not under pressure to do. Are you getting my point? There's no temptation like, do this or die. No. It's just that you have the opportunity. Somebody, you are going on the road. Now, listen to this. A man's car just went down. That is, the tire just went down. And you are going past. You have a very nice suit on. You know, you are going about your business. But you looked, and this man looks like he's 70 years old to you. Tell your neighbor, it's an opportunity. You rip that jacket off your shoulder, toss it onto the man's back seat. Sir, let me jack this car for you. The Bible says when you do that purely for the sake of helping somebody, what you are doing is that you are sowing to the Spirit. Most of the sowing we do these days as Christians, I say it all the time, it is sowing to the flesh. The man wants a car, so he sows a spare tire. I don't know whether I hear what I said. It is still about him. It is still about him. He's just thinking of himself. And don't ever forget, God said something like, when Solomon was speaking, when he says, as a man thinks in his heart, what did he say? The way we read it, we often read it upside down. This is how we read it. That if you think like a millionaire, you are a millionaire. That was not what he said. He says, don't eat the food of a stingy man. That even though he's saying to you, eat, feel free, it's your home. I mean, don't worry, eat as much as you want. He said, put a knife to your throat too. Don't eat everything. He said, why? Because what he's saying is not as important as what he's thinking. That he says to you, eat, but his heart is not with you. And as a man thinks in his heart, that is what he really is like, not what he's saying to you. I don't know whether you heard that. That was what Solomon was saying. When I said, listen, if you want to be a millionaire, think like a millionaire. No. Jesus said, if you want to be a millionaire, think like a servant. He said, whosoever will be the greatest amongst you, let it be the servant of all. So what was he saying simply? Listen, it is what a man is thinking. Now, listen to this. If God knows that, don't you think he can see it too? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. So when you come and say, God, take the offering, take. Don't worry, I'm just your son, I'm giving. Say, Gabriel, don't mind him, I can see his heart. Tomorrow morning, prayer point, we start. He will remind us of all the offerings of today. That is, he's sowing to his flesh. He is not sowing to the Spirit. Please, it's unfortunate I have to stop now. Very funny way to stop, right? Yes, but I'll continue for that point next time. I'm really, really, really sorry. The reason is this. I apologize for those of you who came late. You didn't get the apology. I'm going to preach somewhere. I'm supposed to start preaching in 5 minutes at Redeemed Church there, Graceland. So if you want to hear the rest of the message, follow me to Graceland. And we'll go and preach the message there. But the little I've done today, I hope you are blessed by it. I hope you are blessed by it. Okay, I'll finish the blessing next time. I really apologize. Let's just bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks.